If you will, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. These verses we read this morning are part of the longest sentence in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. Look what the writer says. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. According to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we've come once again thanking you so much for allowing us to be here. And Lord, we thank you this morning that you are going to speak through us through the power of the Holy Spirit to touch us at the point of our need. And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Here, Paul opens up a wonderful truth about salvation, our salvation in Christ Jesus. Far beyond the glories that we can even think of. You know, as I read this passage of Scripture in verses 3 through 12, or 4 through 12, 7 through 12, we have the work of the Trinity right here. Can't help but mention that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you see. God the Father planned our salvation. God the Son purchased our salvation. And the Holy Spirit presents us our salvation this morning. Christ tells us right here in this passage of Scripture that when he came to earth, one of the most beautiful titles of his name is Savior. Savior. Beautiful name. When Jesus was born, the angels said, "For unto you this day is born a Savior to all mankind." When the angels spoke to Jesus and Joseph about Jesus, rather, he said, "You shall call his name Jesus." Isn't that a wonderful name? The Bible says that the last time every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, what a Savior we have. I couldn't help but think about as Brother Teddy led the choir in that first song. Oh, what a Savior we have. I tell you what, Jesus gets sweeter to me every single day, folks. The closer I get to going to be with God, the older I get, it just seems like heaven is a little bit sweeter every day. And folks, I can't not help but think about the glories that God has prepared for us. I couldn't help but think about when the choir sing. Oh man, one day, that heavenly choir and the angels singing and the people were singing, how wonderful it's going to sound. And I can't help but think about that glorious salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to listen especially close, because God loves you and He wants you to come to Him, but He's not going to force you to come to Him. He loves you so much, He died for you. Now, some of the things about the work of Jesus Christ is, the Bible says here in verse 7, the redemption. Look at that. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. Now, the verb is past tense there. Right now, we have redemption through His blood. That word redemption is one of the most beautiful words in all the Bible. Along with Savior, along with Jesus, I have been redeemed. I love that old song. We sing all kinds of songs about redemption. Redemption, what does it mean? It means the payment for a ransom. You see, Jesus paid the price. Redemption means that we have been released, or we have been set free of the payment of a ransom. Now, when this was spoken, slavery, everybody knew about the thing of slavery. It's a past thing in our country. But some people back then were very familiar with the word slavery. And the Bible says in those days that a slave was put on the auction block, and the highest bidder would start bidding, and they would bid for that slave, and the highest bidder would buy that slave. You see, they were being bought, and the Holy Spirit has taken that word redemption right out of the institution of slavery to illustrate that Jesus Christ has bought, has paid the price for our salvation. God loves you that much. Somebody had to pay the price for sin. You see, sin keeps us in bondage. It makes us, we're slaves to sin. You and I were on the slave market. We were there of the slave market of sin, and we were ready to be sold. And Jesus Christ came to the marketplace called Calvary. And there at Calvary, He stretched forth His arms, and they drove spikes through His hands. And with His precious blood, He paid the price that we might have life. Think about that. He paid your price that you might have life. In Him, it says, we have redemption through His blood. Now, redemption from the bondage. You see, the Bible says we are sold out. We were under bondage of this thing, a slavery. Every sinner is a slave to sin. The Gospel of John says, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, the Hebrew children knew all about slavery. They knew all about this thing called bondage and to sin. They were down there in Egypt. They were slaves to Egypt. They were slaves under that bondage of sin. They were beaten. They were whipped. Folks, let me tell you something. Sin is addictive. Think about that. We think of addictive as drugs. We think of addiction as sex addictions. We never think about sin being addictive. But sin is addictive. All people say sometimes, well, I'm addicted to alcohol. But they never say, well, preacher, I'm addicted to sin. But let me tell you something. If you're out in the world and you're without Christ, you're under the bondage of sin. You are addicted to sin. You see, sin binds you all together. It binds you. One time you say, well, I can get by with one sin, and you sin. And you say, well, I did that, but first thing you know, you're sinning again two times, and three times, and four times, and first thing you know, you are addicted to that sin. And you can't break those bonds of sin that hold around you. You see, sin is something that is very cruel. Some people don't even like to preach on sin anymore. But let me tell you something. It is a part of our lives. In Egypt, those Israelites served under the whips and the taskmasters that whipped them cruelly. Sin will beat you down. It'll wreck your life. It breaks down your health. It breaks down your family. It'll break down your marriage and leave you dirty and stained in your life. Sin is addictive. It's cruel. And we're under that kind of bondage. You want to be released of that today? The Bible says Jesus redeemed us. He purchased us through His blood. Now that's the only way we can get rid of that bondage. That's the only way we can be washed clean. We need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I have to have forgiveness every single day. I'm always messing up, seems like. Have you ever messed up and said something you shouldn't have said, and it hurt somebody's feelings, and you walked around thinking, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. And you feel guilty about it. How did you get forgiveness for that? Well, let me tell you what. First, you say, God, I want you to forgive me for hurting so-and-so's feelings by what I said to them. But that's only half of the solution. God forgives you. But then He says, go to that person and ask their forgiveness. Oh, man, that's harder to do, isn't it? But we go to that person, we say, listen, you know, I said some things about you the other day, and I'm really sorry I said that. Can you forgive me? And praise God, they forgive you, and the next thing you feel like you've been released. You ever been there? Man, I've done that. Man, sin captures us and puts us under bondage. That's what the Bible says. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And man, let me tell you something. It never gets old to sing about the blood of Jesus Christ. It never gets old to sing about redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It never gets old to sing, what shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Folks, those are songs that you ought to never forget. Because Christ, I love, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. Redeemed, washed by the blood, redeemed, not only redeemed to be washed away from our sin, but redeemed for the blessings. Look what it says, we are redeemed for blessings. Now this is a future aspect of our salvation. Not only have we forgiveness of sin, and we need that, verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit, until the redeemed of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. We are, the Lord fills us with His Spirit. That is the earnest of our inheritance. That is the earnest. He lives here in my life, and He keeps me saved. He keeps me in His presence. He keeps loving me until that day that he calls me home. One day, Christ will come again. He'll redeem this body, and you'll have a new body. This body that we live in, the Bible tells us, is that old tent. It breaks down, it tears up, it goes wrong. I don't know about you, but my father told me, son, if you ever live to 40, you're going to find out it's patch, patch, patch from then on. Well, I thought when I made 40, I've done pretty good, Dad. I hadn't fell apart yet. But let me tell you something. About 45, it began to hit. And it's been patch, patch, patch. Man, gallbladder, all that kind of stuff, appendix, just everything can go wrong in an instant. But you know what? I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about this old body. It's going to wear out. The Bible says that. It's going to fall apart. It's going to age. It's going to be buried one day if he doesn't call us home in the rapture. But Bible says, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new body, a brand new body. And this brand new body, guess what? It's all wrapped up in redemption in Christ Jesus because he paid the price for our sin. Isn't that wonderful to know that in Christ we'll have a new body one day? We'll have a new place one day. It's called remission. Look at verse 7. I love that. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. The word forgiveness. Forgiveness for what? Forgiveness of sin. Jesus offers us our forgiveness of our sin. And why is that important? Why do we need forgiveness of our sin? Because our God is a holy God. Our God is a just God. And every sin requires a punishment. Every sin. There's no such thing, like Brother Perry said, as a little white lie. They called it fibbing back in his day. It's an East Texas word we got to call a white lie, but it's still a lie. And those lies, every single one required a punishment. Our God is a holy God, and he can't overlook those sins. Praise God, every sin we commit, God demands that there be a punishment sufficient for that sin. And the Bible says God hates sin. But it also says God loves the sinner. Now, isn't that something? God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And we are sinners. He loves us. And sin is the poison in our old bloodstream. And God just hates that. He hates it. Sin is the reason so many people today are in misery. Have you ever thought about that? Sin. Now, I hear people all the time saying, oh, I don't know if God was a loving God. Why did he let this happen? Why? Well, it's because of sin, folks. Sin. Why don't we blame the devil? He's the problem in this world. Sin brings us misery. Now, here's the dilemma. How can God love the sinner, hate the sin, and how can God forgive the sinner and deal with the situation? How can God do that? Here it is, right here. In the Old Testament, what did they do? In the Old Testament, a sacrifice to God had to be made. They would bring a lamb and sacrifice that lamb and pour that blood upon the altar to deal with that sin. But that blood of that lamb had no power. Just had no power. It simply pointed to the time when God would deal with the sin ultimately and forever. When Christ came, that's what it's talking about it right here. When Christ came, the Bible says he came to take away the sins of the world. And he dealt with the sin problem once and for all. For Jesus said, I am the Lamb of God, that perfect little lamb, that one who had no sin, the one who knew no sin, died for us. The Old Testament simply pointed to Jesus Christ. No wonder John the Baptist cried, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, Jesus Christ was that Lamb. He went to the cross. He dealt with the problem of sin. When you come to Jesus Christ and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then he gives you, he forgives you of your sins, and they are gone forever. You see? Does that mean we will not sin again? No. But the sins of the past, the sins of the present, and the sins of the future were crucified that day on the cross of Calvary. Folks, that may be deep for some of you, but they are put away forever. And the Bible says it's in Christ we have redemption. It's in Christ that we have remission. That word remission simply means forgiveness of our sin. Now, if you're here today, the secret is to be in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you get in Christ Jesus? Well, Jesus says, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. He died for you. He loves you. But you must trust him as your Lord and Savior. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you believe that he died for you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you come to him, he will forgive you? I do. You see, I've received that forgiveness. I don't deserve what Jesus Christ has done for me. But I know that he did it because he loved me. You know, if I had been the only one on this earth, he would have died for me. That's how much he loves you. If you'd have been the only person, he would have died for you. He did die for you. Now, what you have to do is believe that, put your hope in Christ, and come to him. Repent of your sins. That word repent means simply to turn your life around. You're headed in a world the way the world is. And we talked about it this morning. This world is in darkness. And we're walking in darkness. Jesus says, turn your life around. And he is the light. You start back towards him. You get your life in the light. Oh, you begin to see yourself just as Christ sees you. You see? And the more closer you get to Christ, the more you're going to see yourself, I guarantee you, as ugly in sin. The more you're going to hate sin, the more you don't dislike sin, let your light so shine, the Bible says, for him. And then not only that, we see redemption and remission here. We see something else, the revelation in him in verse 8, which he made to abound toward us all in wisdom and prudence. Folks, wherein, in God's grace, Jesus Christ has, at grace has abounded. That simply means it's overflowed towards us. Boy, think about that. His grace is an overflowing river upon us. I'm doing. Somebody says, how are you doing? And you say, fine. Well, someone says, I'm doing better than I deserve. And that's in every one of us. We're doing a whole lot better than we deserve. God's grace just overflows like a river, and it pours into our souls, and it pours into our being, and He gives us wisdom, and He gives us understanding, and He gives us insight into His Word. And He says, having made known to us the mystery of His will. You see, the closer we get to Christ, the light shines on us and He reveals His purpose. And He begins to reveal His plan in our life. Now, somebody said this morning in our class, how do we understand the will of God? Well, the closer you get to Him, the better you'll understand it. I'll guarantee you. And this is something else I wanted to say. If you know His will and you're not doing it, don't expect Him to show you any more until you obey what He already showed you. Okay? I know, beyond any doubt, He wants me to live a clean, good life. I know He wants me to walk in the light. You know what that means? It means I can't go down and walk in the darkness. You will never see my car. Well, you might see my car, but I won't be driving it. You'll never see me inside of a bar. Why? Those places are places of darkness. There's nothing good that happens down at Rita's. I'll guarantee you. Oh, they think, you ever see these commercials? Oh, you want to live it up? No. That's living it down, folks. They don't know what real living is. But you know what? Nothing good happens in those places. I don't go there because it's darkness. You walk in the light. And if you're in those places, you're walking in darkness instead of light. And He's not going to show you His will until you start walking and doing what He asks you to do. If you're not praying, if you're not studying the Word sometime, if you're not fellowshipping, I believe, with other believers, you're not going to understand what His will and plan and purpose. You know, I didn't understand His will for my life until I started living my life with other believers. And boy, then He showed me His will. He showed me the purpose for my life. Verse 10 says that in the fullness of time, you see, God wraps it all up right here, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ. I got news for you. Christ is coming back. He's coming back. In His time. Somebody said the other day, when do you think the end of the world is going to be? Well, it really doesn't matter to me. I'm ready. In His time, when He gets ready, when He sees the last person saved, that's going to be saved. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if I was standing down here and I was preaching, I was giving the invitation, and that lost person in the back started walking down here and came down here and got gloriously saved, and Jesus said, Father, that's the last one. And He says, go get him. And the trumpet sounded. Wouldn't that be glorious? Man, just to be snatched out of here, caught up to meet Him in the clouds. It would be glorious. But it wouldn't be if you didn't know Him. Boy, but God, in the fullness of time, when He wrap it all up, one and all things in Christ, God is going to put us all back together again. You see, sin tears things apart. It tears families apart. It tears churches apart. It tears lives apart. But in Christ, God said, it will all be put together again. My hope is built on nothing less than His blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Folks, what are you standing on today? In Him, you can have redemption. In Him, you can have remission, forgiveness. In Him, you can have revelation of what He wants you to do. If you don't know Him today, the greatest thing that can happen is you give your life to Jesus Christ right now. I'm going to give an invitation. We're going to sing a song. Won't you come? Won't you come and say, Lord, I want that redemption. I want that forgiveness. I want to know what you want with my life so that I can have a purpose in my life, so that when I get to the end of my days, I can look forward to my home going. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day. Oh, I thought the other day when Brother Billy Graham passed away, I thought to myself, Lord, as far as I know, he's the last real evangelist that's on earth today. I said last real evangelist. There's a lot of those fake ones out there. But God has His men. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice that, you know, Methuselah, the day that he died, the flood waters came. And I thought, you know, the day that Billy's laid to rest, wouldn't it be great if God came back? I think it would be great. For the Bible says, if we love His appearing, man, I love His appearing. I'm looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you don't know Christ this morning, would you trust Him as your Lord and Savior? That's a decision you've got to make. I can't make it for you. I wish I could, but I can't. But all you have to do is simply step out by faith and come and just say, Preacher, I want to trust Christ today, and I'm making it known right here today that I am turning my life around. I've given it to Christ. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. And God's got a plan for your life. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for that redemption. I thank You for dying on the cross that we might have life. And Lord, we pray especially today, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, mother, father, child, youth, whatever, that they might come today before it's too late. Who knows, this might be the last time that they hear that word of God. Lord, let them come today. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.